MediTalk with Dr. Ross Walker.
Good afternoon, Dr. Ross Walker. How are you?
I'm extremely well, thank you, Brent. Yourself?
I'm good, thank you, Ross. This is the last chat we'll have for a couple of weeks. You're going OS.
Yeah, I'm off to the European Society of Cardiology meeting in Paris, so it'll be a hard gig. This is a huge meeting, 30,000 delegates. So I have to learn the latest and greatest in cardiology. As you know, I do tend to keep up a bit anyhow, but
you do.
It'd be good to see the latest advances in medicine.
And you're away for, what, three or so weeks?
Yeah, 3 weeks away, yep.
Half your luck.
Thank
Half
you.
Your luck. Well, who's filling in for you? Doctor? Well, I think we've spoken to this doctor before, have we not?
Yeah, this is Dr. Brad Mackay.
That's him, Brad is
pretty prominent in the Australian media. I think he was on that interesting show, what's it called, something about embarrassing bodies or something.
Ah, right.
Yeah, he's a good guy, Brad. I'm sure you'll enjoy him.
Thank you. Thank you for organising all that. Today we're talking about a couple of things. Firstly, blood pressure and your iPhone or your smartphone, not necessarily an iPhone. I've got a question I wanted to ask you. In reference to blood pressure,
yep.
Are blood pressure machines that you go and buy at the chemist or you know, places like that, are they accurate?
Oh, yeah. The vast majority of them are superb, and they're just as good as a measurement you'd get in a doctor's office. So I have no problems at all, and in fact, I encourage my patients to be owning their own machines and checking their blood pressure. But here's the issue with blood pressure checking. Some people can get a bit neurotic about this, and I've got some people who check their blood pressure 4 times a day, and I tell them to get a life. So seriously, you can go overboard. But if you've got a blood pressure machine, I think it's a good thing to check it once every week or so to get some idea. Because if you think about it, mate, we go to doctors and get our blood pressure checked maybe once a year. That tells you nothing about your blood pressure. It's what I call the reverse pain in the ass rule. If you take a photo of someone who's a complete pain, and they're smiling for the camera, and you assume on one photo that they're a happy person, you've made the wrong assumption.
True.
And in the same way, if you take one blood pressure in a doctor's office where they might be stressed about going to the doctor, and it's high, and you say, oh, you've got high blood pressure, it's complete nonsense. You've got to get a pattern over a period of months to see whether somebody's going to then be on blood pressure pills for the rest of their life. So it's got to be something you want to take seriously and do properly.
One of the things I took from the article in reference to the blood pressure and the smartphones was that when they say you take your own blood pressure, if you've got one of these machines, you should take it more than once. And I mean more than once at the time that you take the blood pressure. So
yeah.
If you're taking your blood pressure once a day or, you know, 3 or 4 times a week, you just don't take that blood pressure once. You take it three or four times.
Yeah. And the reality is when you look at the blood pressure studies that have been done, the most important blood pressure study that's been done recently is a thing called the SPRINT trial. And they took 9,000 people with high blood pressure and followed them for 3 years. Now, they targeted half of those people to 140 on 90, the other half to 120 on 80. And the people they could get down to 120 on 80 had 30% less heart attack, stroke, sudden death, and heart failure. But here's the issue. When they're talking about 120 on 80, they're talking about somebody sitting quietly in a room for 5 minutes checking their own blood pressure on a machine. So they're not talking about having an imposing doctor in the office looking down at them and checking their blood pressure. We're talking about purely having it checked by yourself after you've rested. Because here's the issue. I have people who might check their blood pressure at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning, and I go, well, so what? You're under the pump at work for 40, 50 hours a week. You never check it when you're under the pump or stressed. So what we're saying is if you can target someone's blood pressure to a resting, a truly resting blood pressure by themselves, measuring it themselves with their own machine to 120 on 80, then you get the health benefits, noting that everyone's blood pressure goes up under stress.
So what's the point of measuring your blood pressure when you're under stress?
Oh, well, the point is to know what it's doing. So a lot of people will be under stress and their blood pressure might only go up to 140.
Right.
Other people might measure their blood pressure during stress and might go up to 230.
Yeah, gotcha.
And if people's blood pressure overreacts to stress like that, that's an issue in itself. So I talk about the three most important prognostic features of blood pressure. Number one is, what is your blood pressure doing most of the time? So we have a test. If people don't want to check their blood pressures, we can do a thing called an ambulatory 24-hour monitor. So you put the thing on in the morning, it measures their blood pressure every half an hour during the day and a couple of times whilst they're asleep, and then you take it off. And so they don't have to worry about it, they just have the thing on their arm for 24 hours. So your 24-hour blood pressure measurements or your own assessments of blood pressure over a few months is a very important prognostic sign. Number two is how thick are the walls of your heart. So in my own practice as a cardiologist, I do a thing called echocardiology, where we take a picture with ultrasound of someone's heart and measure how thick the walls are. If you have thick walls, that's a bad prognostic sign.
Right.
Number three is what does your blood pressure do during exercise? So just say you start off at, say, 130 on 80, which is okay, and then during exercise it shoots up to 220, that's a bad sign. If it only goes up to 160, 170, that's completely normal. So it's not, this is why the point I'm trying to make from all of this, it's not about having one measurement every now and then. It's about having a more thorough assessment of your blood pressure. Because if you think about it, if you have proven established high blood pressure, you do need to be on medications and other treatments for the rest of your life. Right. And there are five things you can do to reduce your blood pressure before you go anywhere near a doctor. Number one, and most importantly, get rid of the belly fat.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, 3 to 5 hours of moderate exercise every week. Number three, avoid sugar and salt like the plague, especially salt. Number four, keep your grog down. I know you and I are great fans of the occasional glass of red wine, but having up to more than three glasses of alcohol on a regular basis per day pushes your blood pressure up.
Mm-hmm.
So keep the grog down. And number five, manage the stress. So they're the five key things people can do. There's a couple of natural things that also work for blood pressure. There's a thing called chiolic aged garlic extract. Two capsules in the morning of that, completely natural and completely harmless, can reduce your blood pressure, pretty equivalent to the same size of a pill. And the thing I talk about all the time that I have the association with, the Bergamet, one of those twice a day can certainly help blood pressure. And most people are not going to object to this one, Brent. Two small pieces of dark chocolate every day can help your blood pressure. The next thing is sleep apnea is very important. So if you have sleep apnea, that can drive up your blood pressure. And finally, then after all of that, it's pills. And the important thing is to keep your blood pressure well below 135 on 85, probably aiming for about the 120 on 80 mark most of the time, but it's still going to go up when you get stressed or you have a salt load. So that's important. So what we're talking about with all this is this selfie. What they're developing on iPhones now and smartphones, you're able to take a picture of your face. And in this particular study, they did it over 2 minutes. They're trying to reduce it to a 3-minute selfie of your, a 30-second selfie of your face. And this study looked at just over 1,300 Canadian, so white Canadian, Caucasian Canadians, and Chinese adults. And they did this 2-minute selfie, and there's a thing called transdermal optical sensors that can measure the blood flow through your face. And in fact, it was accurate to about 95% measuring the top and the bottom readings. But here's the problem. This was only in people with normal blood pressure. So it was accurate when you compared it to a normal blood pressure monitor versus their selfie. And it was only in people with either Caucasian skin or Chinese skin. They haven't done it in people who have very dark skin. So the African Americans, it hasn't been tested in them. And it also hasn't been done in people who have very high blood pressure to see what the accuracy is with a normal blood pressure monitor. So it's predicted at some stage in the very near future, just with a selfie, we'll be able to measure blood pressure, how well our heart's pumping, what's our height, our weight, our gender, with a phone, cardiovascular risk, your BMI, your vascular age, all of these sort of things, just by taking a selfie. So we're moving towards this extraordinary form of self-monitoring.
Why do you measure why do you measure blood pressure just above the elbow? Why is that where they wrap the band?
That's easy, because the brachial artery, which is very accessible and runs just under the skin, so it's just under the elbow, it runs there. It's very easy to whack your stethoscope over there or whack the machine over the brachial artery. So because it's a superficial artery, it's easy to measure the pressure there. That's when you do it. But here's the interesting thing that a lot of people don't realize. The pressure that your organs are exposed to is always a bit lower than the pressure at the brachial site where they measure it normally. And I have a test in my own practice called applanation tonometry, which measures the stiffness in the arteries. And this can accurately assess your central blood pressure, which is a much more accurate predictor of vascular risk over and above the brachial artery, the normal blood pressure measurement.
why do you measure, and this is sort of turning out to be a segment on blood pressure.
That's right.
Why do you measure your blood pressure on the left, or why are you supposed to measure your blood pressure on the left arm as opposed to the right arm?
You're not? No, you measure it on any arm you like.
Okay.
The typical thing is the way a doctor's office is set up is typically it's just easier for you to go to the left arm. But usually there's not much difference between the left or the right arm. But sometimes there is, and there could be reasons for that. It could be just the way the arteries are formed. But there also could be a blockage in one artery as opposed to the other. So obviously your blood pressure is going to be lower in the arm where there's a blockage as opposed to the other one. But typically the standard thing to do is to measure the blood pressure in one arm, whichever's more accessible to the doctor. I tend to do it on the left just because of the way my desk is set up, and that's what most doctors do. But it doesn't have to be the left or the right.
Russ, my wife had breast cancer, and she's been told to check her blood pressure on her right arm.
Yeah.
The reason for that?
Because she has left breast cancer.
Right, okay.
See, because when you remove all the lymph nodes from the left breast, mm-hmm. there can be an effect there on the blood flow coming back from the left arm and the veins, and so you don't want to damage any of the tissues on the left side, so you always just measure on the side that the breast cancer wasn't on.
Okay, we've only got a couple of minutes, and we've got two things to get through, so we're not going to get through either of those. Let's talk quickly about the new hormone injection that aids weight loss in patients.
Yeah, this was done in London, and what they did was take 15 patients who had morbid obesity. So we're not talking about, say, you and I want to lose a bit of weight, so we'll just have these injections over the next week or so. And they gave them a thing called GOP therapy. Now, this is not the Republican Party in America. So the GOP stands for the three different hormones that they used in this injection. So it's basically a subcutaneous infusion for 12 hours every day for 4 weeks. And they lost on average just under about 4.5 kilos. But mind you, the interesting thing, those patients who were given the saline infusion, so it was a placebo-controlled trial, lost 2.5 kilos. So that's over a month.
Yeah.
So the placebo injection's pretty good for that as well. And the interesting thing is with bariatric surgery, when you have the abdominal surgery to help you lose weight, your stomach shrunk down or whatever, you lose on average about 10 kilos in weight. If someone would stick to a very low-calorie diet, they might lose about 8 kilos in weight. So clearly the lifestyle changes or the surgery is better for weight loss, but they still lost a bit of weight with the infusion.
All right, I'm going to love you and leave you and tell you so much. Have a safe trip, but I know you're going to have a great time in Paris.
I'll have a wonderful time, mate, and I look forward to talking to you when I get back.
All right, Ross. Thanks, mate.
Look
after yourself. Bye-bye. That's Dr. Ross Walker. There you go. Everything, we've sort of, it became a discussion about blood pressure, but it's most important, isn't it? And so I did get an email from someone saying, could you ask Dr. Ross, are the blood pressure machines that you buy at the chemist accurate? So there you go. I think it was from Paul. So Paul, yes, they are. They are accurate, so you can go and buy one of those machines from your chemist. They're only about $100, I think, and if you're keen on your blood pressure being checked, it's the way to go.